رسول الله عليه السلام said, He is not from us. He is not from us. He is not from us.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to our first episode of our program He is not from us. What is the meaning of this title? Before we explain the title of this program, He is not from us, and why we have given our program this title, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, what we commonly refer to as Durood Sharif, or in Arabic, Salawat or Salat ala Nabi. Sheikh Abu al-Abbas Uqlishi was once seen in a dream, as Imam Sakhawi writes in Al-Qawl al-Badi'. He was strolling in paradise. The one who saw the dream, he asked the Sheikh about his condition and how he attained this condition. The Sheikh said, due to writing salutations or due to writing peace and blessings upon the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Sheikh Abu al-Abbas Uqlishi was blessed with paradise, and he was seen strolling in paradise. The lesson for us is that we must make a routine for ourselves, and we devote some time to expressing, sending this gift of peace and blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as much as we can, so that we too may attain blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not from us. What is the meaning of this expression? Where does this expression come from? This expression comes from prophetic traditions, ahadith. Yes, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, on some occasions he used the phrase laysa minna or laysa minni, which means he is not from us or not from me. What is meant by this expression? Does this mean that someone who is referred to as being among those categorized as laysa minna or laysa minni, are such people not believers, or do they leave the fold of Islam? Does this mean that those who do not fulfill the criteria mentioned in the prophetic traditions with this wording, with this phrase laysa minna or laysa minni, does it mean that those who do not follow the criteria within the hadith, that they do not remain Muslims or they leave the fold of Islam? Let us consider what Allama Badruddin Aini Hanafi writes in explaining this term. He says that the term laysa minna or similar terms, it means the person is not a follower of our seerah, our lifestyle, our way. Another meaning could be that he is not steadfast upon our given guidance. And the third meaning he mentions is that he is not adorned with our character. So it doesn't necessarily mean that someone who may not fulfill the criteria to avoid being from those who are classified as not from us, it does not mean that they leave the fold of Islam or they're not Muslims necessarily. It could just mean that they are not following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And moving on, explaining this term also, Mufti Ahmad Yarkha Naimi alayhi rahma, he explains further, and he says that this term laysa minna, or obviously laysa minni is included in this, this can mean that he is not from our congregation, that such a person is not from those who follow our way. It also can mean that we are disaffiliated from such a person, displeased with such a person. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, if he mentioned this term in a prophetic tradition, it could mean that he is displeased with people who have a certain character trait. He also continues to say that those who fall under this category of laysa minna, he is not from us, they are people who are not from the accepted people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it does not necessarily mean, or it does not mean that such a person has left the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Yes, he does add towards the end that if a person disrespects the Prophet alayhi wasallam, then such a person would indeed be guilty of disbelief. His action would be an act of kufr, of disbelief. So from the explanation of Allama Badruddin Aini and from the clarification of Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi alayhi rahma, we learn that this expression, he is not from us, does not necessarily mean that a person is no longer from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, but it could mean that such a person is deprived of being among the righteous elite or the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or such a person is deprived of following the prophetic way. So the first hadith that we will mention in this theme, following this theme of he is not from us, is a hadith mentioned in Bukhari, where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna bal lam yataghanna bil Quran." He is not from us who does not recite the Quran with a good voice. So the one who does not recite the Quran with a good voice, with a good tone of voice, he is not from us. What is meant by this? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi alayhi rahma, in explaining this hadith, he says that yataghanna may come from the word khina'un, which means a good voice or a good manner of recitation or a good manner of articulation. Or it may come from ghana, which means to be self-sufficient or independent. And here, reciting the Quran with a good voice does not necessarily mean that one is able to recite the way the best reciters of the Quran recite. It means that one should adopt a way where, according to his or her personal level of recitation, you recite with a good voice, in a good way, in a good manner. This means that one recites the Quran according to his or her best voice, meaning in the best way they can possibly recite, considering the articulation points of recitation of the Quran, not making mistakes in the tashdeed elements, not making mistakes in the mad or the elongation, the lengthening elements of recitation, but reciting in a good voice. And this is why sometimes you may have seen our respected elders, when they recite the Quran, they kind of recite it in a tune. And this is actually following the guidance of the hadith. So the hadith expresses the importance, or the fact that to recite in a good way, or when one makes an effort to recite with a good voice, this is desired. This is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam wanted us to do. In fact, this was the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And Allah Hazrat alayhi rahma, he clarifies that this, by consensus, such a manner of reciting has come from us, from the time of the companions and after them, our pious predecessors. So reciting the Quran with this extra effort of a good voice is something which is praiseworthy and encouraged in the Sharia, in the prophetic teachings. But there are some things that we must be careful of. One element that we must be careful of is that our recitation is with correct pronunciation. It is a personal obligation, fard ayn, for every single person to recite, every individual to recite the Quran in such a way where they differentiate between the letters. We're not talking about tahseen. We're not talking about how beautiful your recitation is. We're simply talking about reciting in a way where you do not change the meaning of the words of the Quran. And more can be said about this topic, but the main purpose is to remind everyone that it's a personal obligation to differentiate between the letters when you recite the Quran. And if you're not sure, you should learn from someone who is qualified, or someone who is able to help you in terms of tajweed or the manner of articulation when reciting the Quran. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which is about the Quran and the manner of recitation, is mentioned in Ibn Majah, where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that adorn the Quran with your voices, beautify the Quran with your voices. So we should learn or strive to learn a manner of recitation where we're able to recite the Quran in a good tone of voice. Al-Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi explains, and he says that it should be a serious kind of tone, because the Quran, a lot of the Quran there is counsel, advice in it. It talks about what happened to previous nations. The Quran reminds us that we must reflect when we see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a certain tone of recitation, it has a lot of efficacy. And following on from this point, the great Mujaddid Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman, he reiterates this point. And just to summarize what he writes in his fatawa, he says that the Quran should be recited in a beautiful way, in an uplifting way. When it's recited, it should uplift the reciter and those who listen to the recitation. It should be recited in such a way that it penetrates the heedless hearts. And if we try to recite it with a good tone of voice, it will have this effect. And if we're sincere in our recitation. But then he also mentions that there are certain things we must refrain from. One thing he mentions is that the Quran must not be read in a way that follows any musical scales. Another point that he mentions is that you should not change or distort the words of the Quran, where something which is to be stretched, you shorten it, and something which is to be shortened, you stretch it. So some people, to maintain a certain tone or tune even, they change the length of the letters, the words or expressions of the Quran, and this is obviously not permissible. The last point he mentions is that the Quran, it should not be recited in such a way where a person, he adds a ghunna element, a nasalization element, or a noon sound. It's not there, but just to maintain his tune of recitation, he adds these things. Obviously, this is not permissible for him. So beautify the Quran with your voices, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, but do it in such a way that you do not change the words of the Quran, and you do not add elements during your recitation which are not permissible when we read or recite the Quran. As we're talking about the Quran, let us consider another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentioned, this narration is found in Shu'b al-Iman. He says, O people of the Quran, do not make the Quran a pillow. I repeat that. Do not make the Quran a pillow. And recite the Quran day and night, the way it should be recited. Announce the Quran and recite the Quran with a good voice or a good tone of voice. Reflect upon the meaning of the Quran, reflect upon its meaning, and do not seek its reward in haste or hastily, for its reward is great. A few points to highlight from this hadith. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam commanded us, do not make the Quran a pillow. Unfortunately, some people are completely unaware of this, and they do not have the right adab or right respect, or they do not know the etiquette when it comes to respect for the Quran or for objects that have religious significance. The Quran itself, it should be respected in such a way that we hold it, we keep it elevated, we kiss it before we recite it. We even put it on your eyes as a mark of respect or an expression of respect. The Quran should not be thrown about. Surely, in this hadith, it's very clear, do not make it a pillow. And Unfortunately, some people make the Quran a pillow, and we must refrain from this, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam specified in terms of the etiquette of related to the Quran. We must not make it a pillow. We must express utmost respect for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith also reiterates the point that we mentioned earlier about reciting the Quran with a good voice. In this hadith also, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam instructs us to recite the Quran with a good voice, and he also instructs us to focus on or reflect upon the meaning of the Quran. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the prophetic advice. Another narration to encourage us in terms of learning about the Quran, and how in the time of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, people, the believers, would learn the Quran. We know in the Jami Masjid, the central masjid in Damascus, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an, he would sit in the arch, in the mihrab of the masjid, and he would overlook the believers reciting the Quran. He made groups of 10, and there would be one teacher in every group who would teach others how to recite the Quran. And if those supervisors or those teachers, if they had an issue or they wanted clarification on something, they would come to Sayyidina Abu Darda, who would be sitting in the mihrab, and he would clarify or answer their queries. So gathering to learn the Quran and taking part in study circles in which the Quran is learnt, taught, this is the way of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, we have opportunities to learn the Quran. Some people may think, how can I improve my recitation? I'm not sure if I'm reciting the Quran correctly. In Dawat Islami, there is an opportunity for all to recite, to learn how to recite the Quran correctly. Alhamdulillah, we have our institutes, our madaris, Madrasatul Madina, for the children, but we also have the madrasa for adults also, and our sisters are working in their own way, in their own departments, to fulfill the need, the learning of the Quran within our sisters. Dawat Islami also provides online learning of the Quran. So if you're not sure, you can visit our website, or you can, if you have the contact details for a local responsible brother affiliated with Dawat Islami, they will guide you in terms of how you can benefit from the facilities or the services that Dawat Islami is providing for the teaching and learning of the Quran. Our pious predecessors would recite the Quran or listen to the Quran attentively. And I'd like to share with you a narration involving Sayyidina Imam Asma'i. He says that one day I was reciting Surah Ma'idah, and there was a Bedouin who was sitting near me or present near me. When I reached a certain verse of the Quran of Surah Ma'idah, and I said, Wallahu, instead of Wallahu Azizun Hakim, I said, Wallahu Ghafurur Rahim. And the Bedouin, he said, whose speech is this? I said, Imam Asma'i is narrating, he says, I said, it's the speech of Allah, the words of Allah. He said, the Bedouin said, read again. Imam Asma'i, he read again, but he made the same mistake. Instead of saying Azizun Hakim, he said Ghafurur Rahim. And remember, the Bedouin had been listening carefully to the verses of the Quran that Imam Asma'i was reciting. So the Imam, when he made the mistake again, he realized the second time, after the second time, his mistake, and he corrected himself. Then the Bedouin said, now you've recited correctly. And then he explained, because Imam Asma'i said to him, how do you know? Because the Bedouin was not an educated man. He did not seem like a man who has knowledge of the sciences, or possibly even a hafiz of the Quran. So how did he know that Imam Asma'i made a mistake? The Bedouin said, He explained in his words that the verse that Imam Asma'i was reading referred to a particular punishment in the Quran. And after the punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would describe himself as being predominant and wise. Because just before that he's mentioned a punishment. So after mentioning a punishment, he would not mention his forgiveness and his mercy. A very meticulous point to think about. But the Bedouin was listening attentively. This was the love for the Quran. And this goes back to the hadith where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, reflect upon the meaning. Today we read the Quran and we have absolutely no idea what we're reading, or we read without any thought. We're more focused on finishing as many pages as we can. But sometimes to read and understand, or to listen to the understanding of the Quran from a scholar, will help us to purify our hearts and may open our hearts to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and encourage us to follow the way of the Sharia. Once, an interesting account, once Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he passed by a gathering and there was someone singing, and he was passing by and he listened to the man's voice and he said, if only this man would use his voice to recite the Quran. He has such a beautiful voice. If only this voice was used to recite the Quran. The man was informed of this. The singer, he was informed of the comments made by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And those words, those comments affected him to such an extent that he repented. He gave up his singing and he joined the company of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, and he continued to learn from this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sahibul Na'lain, the companion who would carry the blessed shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the companion who was known for his scholarly status among the Sahaba. So obviously his words had such efficacy that the singer repented and he joined his company. And if you sit in the company of such scholarly, pious individuals, and what would happen? Naturally, it will be the case that that singer became a great qari, a reciter of the Quran. This is the beauty of being affiliated with the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sitting in their company, learning from them, inspires the people who may be drowned in sin to come out of the sinfulness, the life of sin that they've been living in, and adopt the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And those who were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they change their lives in such a way that they become inspiration for others. We're now coming to the end of our first episode of this program, He Is Not From Us. Just to remind you that the theme, the topic that we discussed within this theme, was that we recite the Quran with good voices. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna bal lam yataghanna bil Quran." The one who does not recite the Quran with a good voice, he is not from us. So we recite the Quran in the best way possible for us, according to the rules of articulation or the rules of tajweed, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our efforts to recite the Quran and make this a means of purification for us. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen.
Rasulullah alayhi salam said, He is not from us. He is not from us. He is not from us.